13-year-old in Quebec banned from social media. Man found dead at correctional facility in Regina. BC climate activist will not be deported. Canadian humanitarian organization says Israel bombed its water aid truck in Gaza. Pro-Palestinian students arrested at Columbia University, and nearly 200 bodies found in a mass grave in Khan Yunis in Gaza. Good morning. It's Monday, April 22nd. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. We start today in Quebec, where a 13-year-old child has been banned from using social media. The boy is accused of harassing and threatening another child online. Police said that the victim's parents filed a complaint after the accused harassed them for several months. The 13-year-old has four charges against him, including criminal harassment, uttering threats to cause death or bodily harm, distributing child pornography, and unauthorized possession of an unspecified restricted weapon. One of the conditions of his release from being detained was that he would not be able to access social media or use the internet without adult supervision. CBC reports that when the police first came to his home, his parents refused to cooperate with them. They had to come back the next day for the arrest. The police didn't release any information about the town or city that the child lives in, but did say that he resides in the regional municipality of Des Collines de l'Outaouais. Next, a 36-year-old man has died at the Regina Correctional Center last week on Tuesday. The story, as reported by an unbylined CBC article, is written in the passive voice and is clearly mostly lifted from the original statement. The man was found quote-unquote unresponsive at about 9:20 a.m. local time. The province's Ministry of Corrections, Policing and Public Safety said that prison staff tried to reanimate him, but he was declared dead around 10 a.m. They said that they do not believe foul play was the cause, which of course is bizarre as the correctional system has one job, to keep people in their care alive. So there must have been something foul at some level for a young man to be found dead in a correctional facility. The coroner's service and the ministry will do an investigation. To British Columbia next, where the deportation of a climate activist has been cancelled. CBC's Moira Whiten reports that Zane Hack arrived in Canada to study at Simon Fraser University in 2019. Since then, he's become involved with environmental activism, including with groups like Extinction Rebellion and Save Old Growth. Hack said that Canada Border Services Agency started to scrutinize his study permit after he was arrested a few times for his activism. In 2022, the agency decided that he had not made enough progress on his degree, and he was informed that his permit would be canceled and he would be deported back to Pakistan. Now, Hack was under academic probation at the time, but he has received support from the university and says he's been told he's welcome to return to his studies whenever he's ready. After being told he'd be deported, Hack's partner, Sophie Papp, launched a campaign to have his deportation called off. Even though the deportation has been called off, it's not clear how long Hack will be allowed to stay in Canada. His lawyer, Randall Cohen, says that Hack's arrest creates a chill on campus for students to do activism, especially when that activism could result in a student being deported. Now to Gaza, where a Canadian humanitarian organization has said that its main water aid truck was bombed in a targeted Israeli attack. The organization, International Development and Relief Foundation, has now called on the federal government to conduct a full investigation into what happened. In response, Minister of International Development Ahmed Hussein said on Twitter that the feds have reached out to Israel for more information about the situation. His tweet read this, quote, "The rapid and unimpeded passage of humanitarian relief for Palestinian people is critical. Upon hearing that IDRF Canada's water truck had been bombed, my office reached out to them, and we've contacted the Israeli government for more information on the incident," unquote. The organization said that the truck was clearly marked with the name and a maple leaf. The chief operating officer, Nabil Ali, said that at a minimum, his organization expects the government to conduct an investigation. This incident comes just 3 weeks since the Israeli military struck a World Central Kitchen convoy and killed 7 aid workers, including dual Canadian-American citizen Jacob Flickinger. Meanwhile, American students carrying out pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses have been facing a severe backlash. The center of that backlash has been at Columbia University in New York City, where the administration called the police on their own students. students there have been staging a sit-in on campus grounds called the Liberated Zone. They're demanding that the university divest in its ties from Israel. The university's president, Minush Shafik, then authorized police to come onto the campus and take down the area that students had set up. More than 100 students have been arrested. The encampment was organized by three groups: Columbia University Apartheid Divest, Students for Justice in Palestine, and Jewish Voice for Peace. The latter two groups were suspended by the university back in November. In reaction to Shafik's actions, professors at Columbia released a statement in solidarity with the students saying this, quote, "We are shocked at her failure to mount any defense of the free inquiry central to the educational mission of a university in a democratic society and at her willingness to appease legislators seeking to interfere in university affairs. She has demonstrated flagrant disregard of shared governance in her acceptance of partisan charges that anti-war demonstrators are violent and anti-Semitic, and in her unilateral and wildly disproportionate punishment of peacefully protesting students," unquote. Despite the attacks, students at the university have continued to protest, and students at several other universities, like Yale, have joined in solidarity. And finally, horrific scenes continue to come out of Gaza as the genocide persists. Crews in Khan Yunis have discovered nearly 200 bodies in a mass grave near the Nasser Medical Complex following relentless Israeli bombardment in the area. Al Jazeera's journalist on the ground reported that the bodies of elderly women, children, and young men were found. This follows the discovery of a similar mass grave at Al-Shifa Hospital earlier last week following a two-week siege on the complex. All of this comes as Israel has repeatedly said it is gearing up for a ground invasion of Rafah, despite protests from the international community. It also comes as the United States House just passed a $95 billion aid package that included military aid to Israel. Those are your headlines for Monday, April 22nd. I'm Nora. Happy Passover if you're celebrating the first Seder tonight. I hope you're spending it with family and or friends and you have a wonderful meal and time together. Nothing like starting the week off with all that wine. And I'm back from Edmonton. The trip was amazing and it was so great to meet so many cool people out there. Thank you for giving us the best welcome and showing us the best time. Sandy and I had a blast. You are listening to this podcast at sandynoor.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Monday. Got a long week ahead of us, folks. Buckle up.